Silence!
Oppenheimer!
I think they're talking about us. No way.
I myself am strange and unusual.
This is Nerd Pride Radio!
Nerd alert!
These nerds are a threat to our way of life.
See, this is the stuff that brings nerds together.
So it's sort of social. Demented and sad, but social, right?
If I'm interested in it, then by definition, it is nerdy.
Are you in loser denial or something?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
My dad's a nerd.
And welcome to episode 71 of Nerd Pride Radio. 71, the CIA department responsible for creating Jason Bourne and the other super soldiers, is known as Treadstone 71. So, ask me how I'm doing today. Go on, ask me. I am a little bit sick, a lot sick, but awesome. My name is Mike Jones. I'm a D&D/Pathfinder nerd, a history nerd, a sci-fi nerd, a comic book nerd, computer nerd, movie nerd, comedy nerd, science nerd, gaming nerd, plus there's like seven other kinds of nerd. I only wish I was nerdy enough to be. You're listening to Nerd Pride Radio, the place I go every week to haver on about all the nerd stuff that just won't fit in my, where are we, noggin anymore. As always, you're listening to the best-smelling podcast on the internet. That's right, Nerd Pride Radio smells just like Mr. Krabs' first dime. But straight into the meticulously plotted portion of this podcast. This is the time for me when I talk about whatever's been on my mind for the last week. Something strikes me as interesting during the course of my busy, busy week. I add it to my master list, and then the best stuff off that list gets spewed out all over you guys every week when I record. You lucky dogs. So, straight into the master list. Updates! I see, my updates voice is back. All right. First off, I don't know. I put on 2-3 pounds since last week, but we had Thanksgiving in there, and then I got really, really sick, and so therefore it kind of balances out, so I'm not really worried about it. But the other update that I have is Serial. My brother Kyle told you guys that you need to be listening to the Serial podcast from National Public Radio, from the same people that bring you This American Life. He was not kidding. He mentioned that. I brought it up in the last podcast just as on his quick recommendation. And then immediately afterwards, I wound up listening to all 9 episodes over the space of the next 2 days. And I am hooked. I cannot wait for the next episode. I think it's out Wednesday. So we'll be on episode 10 this Wednesday. I am really looking forward to it. So it's a very good podcast. My brother was completely right. You absolutely should listen to Serial. It is wonderful. I think that's it for updates. I am not going to do a long podcast today because, I'm sick. I'm probably still feverish right now. That's how much I care about you. I just want to make sure I got something out this week. So that's what I'm doing. So the only thing on my meticulously plotted portion of the podcast is Roku. I just wanted to mention that I finally got Parks and Rec. That's it. I have had this show recommended to me a million times, but I also see I had people recommend The Office to me a million times, and I've tried watching The Office. I've seriously tried watching The Office, the American version, and I've watched it, and okay, some of it's funny, but most of the time, I just don't care for The Office. Just don't like it. And so Parks and Rec has a lot of similarities in their style and their setup. And so people have told me I have to watch Parks and Rec. I have to watch Parks and Rec. And so I've tried several times and it never worked for me. And then this weekend they had a marathon on some station and it was just on in the background. Like whatever I had finished watching was over with and we just kind of left it on Parks and Rec and it stayed there while I was doing a bunch of internet stuff. And after like 2 or 3 episodes, I don't even remember which episode it was, but suddenly I was like, oh, I get it. This is really funny. I really like Parks and Rec. So since it is on Roku and it is free streaming from my Netflix service, I'm going to be watching a lot of that. I really enjoy Parks and Rec. So for those of you who, you know, aren't like me, you already know all this. You guys have been enjoying this show for ages. Obviously, I'm a latecomer and I'm a fool, but I got it now. So very funny. And that's it. That's really it. There, 4 minutes in, and I am out of prepared material. So I'm going to do a few Podomatics here and then wrap up. And I'm just going to go to bed and get some rest. But let's do the proper intro for this. Ready? Podomatic! Oh, God darn it. Turned off again. I should really learn to check that before the show starts, shouldn't I? Podomatic! Thank you, R2. And, hot dog! This is the Nerd Pride Radio Podomatic. At the end of every cast, I bring out R2 and his fully pimped out Podomatic bubble, and he rolls up random topics for me to talk about. And where do these topics come from, you ask? Well, that is where you come in. You want to hear me haver on about something? Then send your questions or topics to me by email, or better yet, in a private message on my forums. I will add it to my Podomatic list, because Podomatic is about whatever you want it to be. Excellent. And, our first number is a 12. 12 is from, hey, it's from Mrs. Darks. Hey, Mrs. Darks. And Mrs. Darks says, who is your favorite non-young adult fantasy author? That is a great question, because I do read a lot of young adult stuff, don't I? Because, see, if you just asked me my favorite author, I could have just said my brother, Kyle Jones. But you're not giving me that option. So I'm going to have to go with – I'm going to have to go with George R.R. Martin. I really, really like Game of Thrones, and the anticipation is just killing me, and I've been over this a million times. I just hope he gets all the books out before he dies. I really want to see how this story turns out. I know there's been lots of people who criticize his writing, saying that, yes, he weaves a fascinating and hypnotic tale, but he's not necessarily the best writer. Whatever. All I know is I'm hooked. Also, for non-young adult writers, I would also – say Greg Bear for science fiction. I love Greg Bear, and he's written lots of sci-fi stuff. Most of his stuff does not come in the form of series. I think he had one book that had a sequel to it that I remember. But most of his stuff are standalone books, and it's usually really heavy, hard science fiction stuff. And I love Greg Bear, and I haven't read any of his stuff in probably about 5 years. I went through everything that I could find at the library and all the books I could pick up, and I've never gone, but you know what? I should do that right now. Well, okay, maybe I should do that right after this. Hold on. Let me write that down. Hold on. Got my pocket mod here. Greg Bear. There. I'll remember to look up his stuff later, see if there's any new books of his that I want to read. Because I really like Greg Bear. Good stuff. God, I'm forgetting how this process works. 68. 68 is a number further down the list. Hey, it's from Ronster. Ron says, have you ever bought a cheap printer just because the ink was more expensive than the printer? Oh, God, no. No, but I've considered it. And that's – see, I've got this thing about printers. I hate printers. Printers are the bane of my existence as a computer dude. They are the thing that I am least happy about when I have to work on them. Printers just suck. It's too many moving parts. Computers are supposed to be a lot sleeker and simpler than that. But I have always had inkjet printers at home. And hold on. Yes? Nope, she doesn't have any commentary. Okay, yeah. See, there's a perfect example. My wife just wants to be able to print at home with her laptop from school. That's it. She wants to be able to print at home. I have the administrative password. I have all the information I need. The printer works. I mean, any other machine we bring into the house, we just go, hey, look for a printer. It goes, oh, you mean this one? Installed. Done. But this one's a Mac. And for some reason, I cannot get this thing installed. I've tried several times. Cannot get it to work. I've gotten it to where it installs. It looks like it's perfectly fine. And it doesn't actually print anything. So my wife then gives up on me and turns to our son, who is also a computer dude and does this for a living, and he's really good with printers. And he looks and he goes, yeah, no, I got nothing. I don't know why it's not working. This doesn't. So, yeah, printers suck. I can't stand printers. So I've always had inkjet printers at home, and the problem I have with inkjet printers is I don't print enough. It's one of those things that if I need to print, I need to have it there. And inevitably, it's going to be, I need to print something and I need to print it now. And of course, I haven't printed anything in 2 months, and so therefore the ink's dried out, and so now I have to spend half an hour going through the cleaning cycle. Okay, it's still not printing. Crap. Am I out of ink? I don't know, so I have to go buy more. I hate it. Just drives me crazy. So I'm thinking what I really ought to do is go out and get myself a cheap color laser for home. Because cheap color laser means probably a couple $100, $250, something like that. But at least with a color laser, then it's toner. The thing's not going to dry up. You're not going to clog your printheads. The thing can sit there waiting for you forever. Oh, that's what we switched to at work. We finally told people they can't buy inkjets at work anymore because we were tired of servicing them. And we just get lasers. Oh, so much nicer. But anyway, to answer your question, no, I've been tempted. But I've never actually done that. I use a printer until we drive it into the ground, and then we go out and we buy another one that's pretty much just like it. So I've never done that. 72 is from Billy Bob. Can you tie a double Windsor knot? No. When I wear a tie, I can only tie whatever. I don't even know what it is. Is it just a Windsor knot? Is that what's the standard? I tie my necktie into a knot so it looks presentable. That's all I know how to do. My son Jacob, however, can do a couple of really interesting ones, and he can tie it's an eldritch knot, and you would have to go to YouTube and look up a video of someone tying an eldritch knot. It is really, really complex, but when it's all done, comes out super cool. I mean, it's a fancy enough necktie knot that it's a conversation piece all by itself. You show up anywhere with a well-tied eldritch knot and people are going to ask about it because it looks good and it's impressive all by itself, which is weird to say about a necktie knot, but it is, and totally worth doing. I should learn how to do that from him, but I don't wear ties often enough. I mean, he was doing this when he was involved in speech and drama and all that, and he was wearing ties on a weekly basis because he had, special events he had to go to. Then it was worth it for him to learn that. But for me, what do I wear a tie? Twice a year, once a year, maybe, if even that. So that's not worth it to me. But yeah, I would love to know how. It just doesn't seem worth the effort. 72 again. That's wrong. 48 is from Humongous. Humongous says, have you ever been to a Brazilian barbecue for a never-ending meat orgy? There are so many parts of that sound dirty. No, I didn't even know that a Brazilian barbecue was a specific thing, much less that it involved a never-ending meat orgy. Let me real quick. I'm going to go get myself an image search for a Brazilian. Yeah, you guys are going to have to sit here and deal with it. Yes? No, it's a Brazilian barbecue. There's nothing wrong with a Brazilian barbecue. That's a... And oh my God, that's a lot of meat. Look at that. There's nothing. It's like beef and, okay, I'm not helping here. Anyway, yeah, my wife is concerned because we're at school, and so I'm using the school's connection here to search for Brazilian barbecue. And I just finished saying how it sounds really, really dirty, and she's concerned. And I'm like, no, that's a lot of meat. And she's still concerned. So, oh man, it does look like a party though, doesn't it? Wow, there is not a single picture of Brazilian barbecue that doesn't look really, really appetizing. And most of it is on skewers. That's awesome. Wow, no, I've never done that, but now you're making me want to. So, cool. 32 is from Zimney. Hey, Zim. And Zim says, what is your favorite type of elf? Elf. I know it's not Santa's elves. I would probably say wood elf, sylvan elves. I like the forest elves. I like them a lot. I mean, there's lots of others, but, or specifically, do you mean, okay. first off, oh, no, you know what? I have answered this question before, because I think my answer last time was Tolkien elves. Not the Superman type elves. Not so much Tolkien-esque in that sense, but I like my elves to be tall. I like the way they are in Shadowrun, the way they are in Pathfinder, that elves are supposed to be taller than humans. Lighter, thinner, but taller. I hated the idea that they took elves in classic Dungeons & Dragons and made them 5 foot tall. I didn't like that. It just bugged me. I like them much better tall. And specifically among the tall elves, I like Sylvan elves. I like wood elves. I just think they're cool. That's my preference. 38. Oh, Billy Bob again. I didn't think Billy Bob had that many entries left on the list. How about that? Billy Bob says, what's in your recent documents file? Well, that sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Can I see my recent documents file from here? Where do you even find that on Windows 8? God, I don't even know. Hold on. Let's see. I mean, I can tell you what's on my recent documents file on... Wait. Yeah, I think I can. Recent? No, that's recent places. That doesn't help me. Documents. No. I'm sure there's a way to do it, but I'm not going to bother with that. Tell you what. Let's go, since I'm already looking at the Podomatic in Excel, my recent documents file in Excel is Pathfinder character sheets, because I was just creating a new character. The Podomatic list, obviously. My address listings. My one-hit wonder battle listings. Oh, yeah, we just finished Hero Battle, since Ron had asked us if we would play a Hero Battle. We did, and it wound up going really, really well. Very nostalgic, very, very old school, just like we used to play it. It was awesome. And it turned out that Zombie and Stan tied for second place. There was no actual winner because they both went out in the same round. But it was very cool and a lot of fun. And we'll probably be starting up another one. I don't know. I posted a query about it. I don't know if we're actually going to start in the next week or if we're going to wait till after the holidays. But a new one will be coming up. So if you guys are interested in Hero Battle, come over to the forums, take a look. And then after that one, the Disney battle, because I had to pull up the old Disney battle document to do the one-hit wonder battle. And then point towers for my wife's school stuff. There you go. Okay. And then in Word, those were my Excel documents. In Word, I've got the show format document and episode 71, because those are the ones I was just working on just now. A recipe for loaded cauliflower. The Scout Oath, a document that I had to print up so I could hand out the Scout Oath to all my Weebelos. Scout Law, had to do the same thing there. Caramelized Baked Chicken, I do a lot of recipes on here. Let's see, The Last Show, show 70. And then Broken Songs from My Wife's iPod. So those are the most recent documents there. So there you go. Does that answer your question, Billy Bob? Did we learn anything from it? I don't know. 16. 16 is, I gotta get back to where I was before. 16 is from Daz. Daz says, F. Mary Kill. Anakin Skywalker in episode 3, George Lucas, and the older Princess Leia in the new movie. Oh, okay. But still, okay. Oh, God. All right. I got it. So Anakin Skywalker from episode 3, George Lucas, and the older Princess Leia in the new movie, but still in her Jabba slave costume. That is not a pleasant set of choices. Because probably Anakin's the most attractive of the three, but also the one I most want to kill. So I think I'm going to have to do that. Yeah. You know what? This is actually simple. We'll just kill Anakin Skywalker from episode 3. We'll marry George Lucas because, no matter what you want to say about George Lucas, he's fabulously wealthy and he's an interesting dude. He really is. I mean, the guy's an uber nerd from way back. And yeah, granted, you know, money has probably changed him some, but whatever. I can live with that. And that would only leave me, Princess Leia for my F portion of this equation. So, Princess Leia would then be my wild knight of passion. You know what? Carrie Fisher is a handsome woman. You just stop that. All right. And specifically, it's Princess Leia in the new movie, which would mean that, look, she's going to be all CGI'd up. It's not Carrie Fisher herself. It's the character from the movie. I'm sure she'll look way better than what I'm picturing Carrie Fisher as. So yeah, you know what? No judgments here. That's my choices. I'm done. We're good. 92 is, 92 is from Ronster again. And Ron says, if you could have a super sense or heightened awareness of one of your senses, what would it be? A super sense. Boy, this is going to be a boring answer, but I wouldn't mind supervision. Vision is really, really important to me because, you know, I look at things a lot. So shut up. I do. And I'm just getting to the point where at my last eye appointment, the doctor offered me a choice. Hey, do you want bifocals or not? I mean, they would help you, and here's what the difference would look like. But, you know, if you don't get them, it's not that big a deal yet. And I said, nah, I don't need the bifocals yet. And now that I've passed on them, I'm kind of wishing, I think I might like the bifocals. I think it's just my eyes are not what they used to be, and so it's just a little bit. But yeah, I'm thinking next time I get new glasses, it's going to be the bifocals. So, knowing that I'm not seeing as well as I used to, it's made me appreciate my vision more. There's a lot of fine detail stuff that, you know, if the lighting's not good, then I'm not seeing it as well as I used to. That suddenly it's like, I can't read this anymore. But then if I go flip on an extra light and I've got some good reading light, now I can see it just fine. Things that, you know, 2 years ago, 4 years ago wouldn't have bothered me in the least. And now, so if I could have supervision, I mean, it would A, compensate for all this missing vision I already have, and B, I don't know, it would be super. So I think right there. There you go. Supervision. 27 is, there it is. Oh, Humongous. Humongous again. And he says, what character from Guardians of the Galaxy would you pick as a partner in crime or adventure? You can only pick one. Clearly Rocket. I mean, is there any other job? If you specifically say a partner in crime, all right? I don't need Groot. Groot's the leveling factor for Rocket. I get that. I'm mellow enough as it is. No. Rocket would definitely be my crime partner because he's good at crime. He's awesome at crime and he's so much fun. I love Rocket. I love that whole movie. There's not a single part of that I didn't like. So yeah, Rocket Raccoon, without a doubt. 30. 30 is from Eliahad. Eliahad, who, by the way, Sphere Ensemble's Kickstarter has just crossed over $10,000 in funding. So it's finally gotten to the point where not only are they going to make this album for me, but they're not going to lose money on it. They're not going to make a bunch of money, but they're not going to lose money now. So they're actually going to have their album, and it's not going to cost them personally anything. So at least that's my understanding of it. So if you haven't checked it out, go look at the Kickstarter for Sphere Ensemble. And if you like what you see there, if you like their music, give them some money, buy this CD, help contribute, because it would be nice if they could actually make a little money in addition to getting their album put out. It would be really, really cool. But anyway, Eliahad says, if you could spend the day with one of the actors of Dr. Horrible's sing-along blog who wasn't Felicia Day, who would it be and why? No, you see, you don't understand, hon. They do this to me every time. They constantly offer me a question and then eliminate the best possible answer. So, you know what? But here's the thing. When you say Dr. Horrible sing-along blog, there's no bad choices here. Because now you're saying, okay, I can't hang out with Felicia Day all day, which would be awesome, by the way. Have you been looking at any of the stuff she's been doing online lately? Woman's incredible. She's great. But I can't hang out with Felicia Day. So now my choice is Nathan Fillion or Neil Patrick Harris. How do I choose? Oh, they're both. I mean, I follow both of them on Twitter and they are both, they're hysterical people. They're great. But I'm going to have to, since I did, read off Sarah Beth's amazing tribute to Neil Patrick Harris last week, I'm going to have to go with Neil Patrick Harris. I think any of the three of them, the main characters, would be fascinating to hang out with for a day. But if you've eliminated Felicia Day from the equation, I'm definitely going to hang with Neil Patrick Harris. Yeah, but again, there's no bad answer. If you had told me any of the three and then you eliminated Neil Patrick Harris and Felicia Day, I would have been thrilled to death to hang with Nathan Fillion. Because he's awesome too. So there are no bad answers. Oh, wait. Change my answer. If I get to hang out with any of the three and my wife gets to come along with us, then you know what? Let's make it Nathan Fillion then. Because my wife would love that. Yeah, it would be it. Because he's dreamy. I don't know if you guys have noticed. Nathan Fillion, really dreamy. All right. Anyway, 98. No, 89. I'm backwards. 89 is from Daz. And Daz says, what are your thoughts on how the youth is educated? And what would you do differently if you had the choice? I would cross this question right off the list. That is way too deep. You know what? That is a question that if I'm going to address it, I'd like to do some research first and I'd actually like to make it a real entry. So let me put it on my Podomatic, or not Podomatic, my master list on my pocket mod here, right under death. I will write down education. Hold on. There we go. Yeah. Because this deserves more than the glib sort of answer that I would normally give here on a Podomatic. So I'm just going to skip that one. 58. I know, it's kind of cheap of me. I'm sorry, but I'm not prepared for it, and I know that whatever I say now is not going to be fair to the topic. It's just really, really not. So, number 58 is from Ronster again. Did you see Halley's Comet or Hale Bopp last time either of them came around? Photographs do not count. No, I didn't. I remember when Halley's Comet came around the last time, and it was a huge deal, and Halley's Comet was something I had been aware of and looking forward to since I was a little kid, and when it finally hit, what was that, 87? 89? I think it was 87. I don't remember. But Halley's Comet was something I was really, really looking forward to, and then it turned out that in our area, it wasn't as highly visible as it had been in the 1910 pass. And I don't think I ever wound up seeing it. I remember looking it up and finding I must have seen an article on it, but someone describing, because this was back before the internet, kids, someone describing the best viewing conditions for it that, oh, well, it's not going to be as visible. So if you want to see it, here's what you're going to have to do. I just wound up never doing it. I wish I had. I wish I had seen it just to say I had seen it, but no, I didn't see it at all. And probably won't get another chance. So, I mean, maybe if I'm lucky, but yeah, probably won't get another chance. And Hale Bopp, I remember that was the suicide cult that killed themselves with the passing of Hale Bopp, but I don't remember even when that was. I just know I didn't see it. So no, I'm sorry. I don't think I've ever seen an actual comet, which is too bad because it would be kind of cool. That is another 58. That must not have moved at all. Let's shake them up and go again. 79. Oh, Ronster again. Ron says, if a person is cremated, then mixed in with cement and poured into a mold to make some kind of figure, such as a garden gnome, lawn ornament, whatnot, would you consider that irreverent or sacrilegious? And if not, what kind of cremato-crete figure would you choose? No, if someone wanted to do that, I don't consider that irreverent or sacrilegious at all. If that's, if you want to make yourself, you know, use your ashes in some kind of permanent marker that, you know, that people can look at and visit your remains, yeah, that's awesome. I don't know that I'd do that, but I don't see any problem with it. I mean, that's your choice. Cool. That was the one. So this is, I'm going back to an old Podomatic. Somebody asked me, about garden gnomes a while back, and I talked about garden gnome Chomsky. And then I also said that, oh, yeah, my sister-in-law likes garden gnomes, and there was a really cool one that my wife found for her, and that I couldn't remember what it was. Well, we just ordered it, yesterday, 2 days ago? We just ordered it for her, and it is a T-Rex rampaging through the garden and eating garden gnomes, and it's awesome. So that's what we're getting her for Christmas this year. It's actually pretty cool. So, Cremato-crete figure. What would I choose? I don't know, something respectful, something. I mean, it would be something like a little headstone marker for myself, but even then, you know, people do that all the time. You just bury the ashes, you put the urn in the ground, and then put the little plaque over the top of it. And, you know, people are doing that to save on ground space when they die lately. So, I don't know. I wouldn't personally do anything really silly or jokey with it. So my answer is not going to be all that exciting. So I got nothing, but I can see lots of possibilities with that. That'd be pretty cool. 34. 34 is from Lucy. Hey, Luce. Is it wise to allow children to encounter distorted versions of ancient history or myths in RPGs or fantasy literature if they have not yet learned more accurate versions of the originals? Nope. Nope, not at all. Because the mythology that's presented in Pathfinder and D&D, for example, where they build from old mythology, but it's not nearly historically accurate. Disney movies like Hercules, for example, or Pocahontas, or in any other, Anastasia, there's a great one. Is it harmful for them to see these distorted versions first? No, I don't think so, because I think we all got that growing up, that everyone starts off growing up with their simplified version of history. And yes, Lisa. Yeah, see, Santa Claus. We don't mind presenting that myth to our kids, or at least we don't. And, I mean, you get, as far as I'm concerned, you know, kids get misinformation all the time. And if it's something that they're interested in, then okay, you help them learn the real details of stuff if that's what they want to learn. Or if you see that they've taken something that comes out of a fiction and they're taking it as some sort of truth, then, yeah, okay, set them straight and go, okay, well, you realize that's not how it really happened, or you realize that that wouldn't have worked like that, or whatever. That's fine. I don't have any problem with coming up with, as you say, distorted versions of history or mythology, because it's all stories, you know? And yes, there are times when distorted history is being passed off as truth, and that can be a little bit dangerous. But most of the time, especially with my kids, at least, I don't think they're watching, you know, Mulan and thinking that Mulan is an accurate representation of what happened in ancient China. That's not, you know, they realize they're watching a movie, they're watching a story, and again, my wife is mocking our children over there. So, I don't think there's anything bad about any of that. I really don't. I mean, again, if they never get the opportunity to learn the real material, as they get older, especially if they're still taking these things as gospel and they need to kind of, you know, be educated, well, then that's your job as a parent and you'll do that, you know? 08. And I think this is going to be the last one. I'm getting tired here. Eliahad. Hey, Eliahad. Eliahad says, Flame is his brother. Flame and I used to create godlike characters in AD&D 2nd Edition when we were much littler than we are now. We're talking level 20 or 30 here, but we never played them. Do you have a character that you created and never played? Describe. I have so many characters that I've created and never played that it's almost silly. Gosh, I wish I could come up with the best examples of these, but one of my earliest ones was an elven wizard that I created. Well, not wizard, it was an elven magic user back in those days. An elven magic user that I created for first edition AD&D, and it was because I was always the dungeon master, so... But I wanted to create a character of my own just because, okay, if I ever got to play, here's what I'd do. And I had an elven wizard that I thought was awesome. I can't even remember the name, but let's see. Beth Yaga, I loved that one. That was my Shadowrun character that I created and never played. Beth Yaga was a shaman that she was actually based on someone that I worked with, a really old, ugly, mean woman. And just an unpleasant person. And that's who Beth Yaga was. She was just this unpleasant person that she drove around in what I essentially described as her truck of holding that, you know, give her a few minutes and she'll find whatever she needs in the bag, you know, old tools and, you know, you need some rope, a cinder block, you know, she's got something back there. She's got piles of laundry in the back seat as if she's been living out of this truck forever, even though she doesn't. She has a house, but the thing is just piled full of hoarder levels of garbage. And I really liked her. I can't even remember the whole detail. Oh, and she also claimed to be immortal. She wasn't, but she claimed that she was, you know, something like 150 years old, even though she clearly wasn't, but she thought she was. That was a great character. That's probably my favorite of all the ones I've never played. I mean, I've had lots and lots of them, but that one's probably, I mean, hell, that's the one that I used as my namesake online for how long. So that would be the best one. And that is the end of our Podomatic, which means all that's left is a recap before we do the credits.
Remember when the platform was sliding into the fire pit and I said goodbye, and you were like,
no way.
And then I was all, we pretended we were going to murder you.
That was great.
This podcast is copyright 2014 by Nerd Pride Radio. The opening and closing theme is Death Metal Disco by Ian Kronk, and I didn't use any bumper music this week. So if you want to do something nice for this podcast, recommend it to a friend. If you enjoy it, then spread the word and let other people enjoy it. Don't forget to check out the free games I have available on my free games page, Instant Game, Animal Ball Melee, Sandbox Hill, two-thirds of a dozen others, all free, all the time. If you want to contact me, you can always email me at mike@nerdprideradio.com, and I promise I will actually respond to you, or find me on Twitter, where my Twitter handle is @nerdprideradio, or check out my Facebook page at facebook.com/nerdprideradio. But to be totally honest, the very best way to talk to me is to come sign up for my forums at nerdprideradio.com/forums. You sign up there, you send me a message, we'll hang out, we'll party, we'll be best friends in the world, we'll have fun. Which brings me to the final portion of this episode, which is Listener Betrayal. And clearly you guys really have betrayed me today, which is my fault because it's only a half hour episode. So you didn't have a whole lot of time. I'm recording an unusual time. No one knew to look for it. It's late on a Sunday night. I mean, come on. But nobody posted anything. Normally I start off, put up a thread, offer you guys a chance to contribute to the end of the episode, and nobody caught it this time. So there's nothing here. We're all done. Say goodnight, R2.